right. Hello and welcome to the Admin Bar, the community and podcast connecting the people with the products, lessons, and strategies to help push their business forward. My name is Kyle Van Dusen, and with me as always is my good friend and co-host Matthew Siebert. How's it going today, Matt?
It is going well, man. I just got in from shoveling outside. New England's getting another big old storm, and so that's been my morning. But I heard you've been struggling with a bit of ice lately too over in Texas.
Yes, but there was no shovel required, and I've made it 37 years on this planet without having to shovel snow, so I do not want to start now, so I do not envy you.
No, not at all, but I envy you.
Yeah, well, just wait till August is here. You'll change your mind on that.
Fair.
Anyways, we need to jump into this right away because we got quite the long episode for you today. This is actually a conversation we had with Paul Jarvis and Jack Ellis, the co-founders of Fathom Analytics. Earlier this week, we did a live interview on YouTube. They talked to us a ton about the legal implications of using Google Analytics and a recent ruling in the European Union that found Google Analytics in violation of GDPR. Obviously, their privacy-first analytics solution is really well-positioned to handle these issues, but there's a lot of things we needed to learn about, like why is this illegal? How do we need to handle this in our agency? And what I think is really interesting is we got into how you can actually use this to, I think, better position your agency. So I won't bore you with all that now. You'll be able to hear everything in this episode, but before we jump into it, I do want to say a huge thank you to today's sponsor, The Content Lab. The Content Lab provides reliable, white-label content writing services for digital agencies and their clients. Whether it's content strategy, website copy, lead magnets, blogs, or even email marketing and newsletters, the Content Lab has you covered. Now, I've been working personally with Abby and her team for well over a year now, and what I like best is the complete peace of mind I have when I send a project her way. I know I won't be waiting ages for clients to send copy, and I know the copy my clients get will be perfectly formatted for the web, optimized for search engines, and conversion focused. Now, if you're struggling with copy, then I would suggest you head on over to thecontentlab.ie. Yes, they are Irish. And let Abby know we sent you. I think you'll be as surprised as I was at just how affordable it is, and I know you'll be blown away with their work. All right. Hello and welcome to this live event. I am super excited about this today. We have been planning this for a few weeks now. I've been amping myself up for a while now. I'm going to admit to it right away just so I have an excuse later that I am a tad bit nervous about this interview. So hopefully you're all on my side here and everything goes well. But I want to spend a little time here at the very beginning just to let you know that this is a live interview with the folks from Fathom, Jack Ellis and Paul Jarvis. We're going to be talking about some of the privacy concerns with analytics, some things that have just happened with GDPR and Google Analytics, and as well about their products. We will have some links for you to check out here during the call. Matt is producing this call today, so he's going to be watching the chat, taking questions and all that. So if you have questions during our conversation, go ahead and just drop those into the chat at the time, and Matt will be grabbing all of those. And I also wanted to say a quick little legal disclaimer, since we are going to be talking about some laws and things like that. Nobody here is a lawyer, so none of this is legal advice, just our own anecdotal advice going on here. So with all of that out of the way, I want to go ahead and say hello and good morning and welcome to our guest. Paul, why don't you take a second and introduce yourself first?
Yes, I'm Paul Jarvis. I'm half of Fathom Analytics. I see Donata is in the chat. I also want to say thanks to Termageddon for introducing us. That's awesome. Our privacy officer, Ree, is also in the chat, which is pretty cool. I'm Paul Jarvis.
Legal disclaimer out.
Yeah, exactly. I'm Paul. I am co-founder of Fathom. I do a lot of all of the design and some of the writing and content.
Fantastic. And Jack, how about yourself?
Yeah, nice to be here, Kyle. Thanks for having us. I am the technical co-founder of Fathom, and so I'm involved in the technical side of things, but I've been known to write a few articles here and there.
Fantastic. Well, I will say too, I told Paul I would have to give 1 second to this. Paul is the author of one of my favorite books that everybody should check out, Company of One. I've talked about it many times in the group. Part of the reason why I've been a little bit nervous to do this interview, but he's been fantastic. So going back and forth in email. So hopefully those nerves will be done here shortly. All right, so we're going to dig into some of these issues and some of the I guess the legal side of it, the privacy side of it here first. So I think I'm going to direct a few of these questions starting out with Jack. But I guess the first question I would want to look at, most agencies are using Google Analytics, and Google Analytics is free. So not only is it the most widely used, it's also free. So I guess my first question to you would be, why is Google Analytics free?
I will hand this to Paul. Paul's
okay.
Good.
Okay. See, I started off right away. Perfect.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. Google Analytics isn't free. You just don't pay with money. You pay with data. That's how their business model works. They're an advertising company. So for Fathom, we feel like it's just a more honest business model. We charge a fair price for people to use our software, so we don't have to sell data because it's not in our best interest. We're a privacy first company, and it would be bad if we sold data, which is why we wouldn't. And two, we don't need to, because we make money from charging our customers a fair price for our product. And I think Google Analytics is also less and less free as more and more places rule that it is illegal. And so if you get a 20 million euro fine for using Google Analytics, it's not really that free. Dealing with complaints, GDPR complaints, also take up a lot of time. And I know, because I was a designer and I did sites for customers and clients for decades, I know that time is very valuable. And if you have to deal with those sorts of things, it can add up, and it's hard to make money when you're dealing with those sorts of things. It's also, I think, part of the answer and part of why Fathom exists is because we make analytics easy. So the amount of time it takes I remember doing this so vividly, where I would set up a website for a client. I'd do their WordPress. I did custom themes in WordPress for many, many years. And I would have to take time to teach them how to use Google Analytics every time. And after a while, I was like, I don't even want to use Google Analytics, which is why Fathom is such a simple product. It's a single dashboard. You don't really have to learn how to use Fathom. You just look at it and the data is there and you kind of know how to use it. That's my very long answer.
Yeah, well, I think obviously I was teeing up that question to say that, you know, and you knocked it out of the park. It isn't really free. We are paying for it in other ways. And so, you know, a lot of myself included, a lot of our audiences here in the US, where we still feel really murky about what parts of GDPR actually pertain to us. And I know we've had Donata try to beat it into our heads and several folks, but I think that side of it, and because the data isn't so tangible like money leaving your wallet is when you have to pay something versus when somebody's just using your data however they will, it doesn't feel the same as paying for it. So I guess, Jack, why don't you give us a little bit of information? There was tons of news a few weeks ago about Google Analytics being ruled in violation of GDPR. So can you give us kind of a layman's understanding of how that worked out?
Yeah, so we had the Schrems II ruling back in 2020, where the data transfers going to the US from the EU were ruled illegal, but everyone was sort of waiting to see what's going to happen with the enforcement. What's the enforcement going to do? Is this actually going to mean anything? And so back in 2020, you know, we're working with our lawyers and privacy officer building this system because we're thinking this is going to happen. This is going to be real very soon. And so in January, we finally saw this. The Austrian DPA effectively ruled Google Analytics illegal. And so from what I understand too, the enforcement agencies actually work together in this kind of task force. So it isn't just one country saying, oh, it's illegal here. There's typically something going on behind the scenes where they're talking to each other. And so if you're in Austria, and even in the EU as well, obviously, that's a very clear signal that you should not be using Google Analytics or many other analytics companies actually. And you should move to a privacy first company like Fathom for your analytics and make sure it goes through the EU. So the way that we work with this, because we use Amazon Web Services, right, which is a US cloud provider. We actually have servers set up in Germany so that all your EU traffic goes through these German owned servers and it gets anonymized everything else before it touches US infrastructure. And Google hasn't even, you read through the DPA's interaction with them. And it's just not good. Google is this huge company. They could do anything they want. They could set up separate entities that aren't owned by Google. And I don't know, I sort of working through this idea. Maybe they couldn't, but there are things that they could have done to actually work with this. And they said, oh yeah, things are safe, but no, it's not, because the US government can still get their hands on it. And so that's not acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. And the US getting their hands on it. So I think that's what I want to make sure we communicate here. So is this just GDPR being a huge pain in the butt and making our lives terrible, or what's their reasoning for wanting to have all these laws in the first place? And why is transferring data to the US seem such a bad idea to do?
Okay. So there, we've got our privacy officer in the chat, so she'll add to this, I'm sure. All countries have some kind of surveillance law. Right, they have things in place. Now, most of them are somewhat reasonable. Now, where the US falls down is their foreign surveillance laws are not reasonable, and they don't, under the GDPR adequacy test, that they don't pass. So you've got countries like Canada, the UK, various other countries. You can type in on any search engine, use DuckDuckGo preferably. You can type in GDPR adequacy ruling, and you'll be able to see the countries that have been deemed adequate under the GDPR, saying they provide appropriate protection for your data. Because the US has such a big reach over foreign data, it's not considered to be adequate. And that's pretty much it. So things need to change.
What I heard you talking about on the call you guys did with Hans and Donata at Termageddon is basically the EU is wanting to protect their citizens from being surveilled on by the United States government. And if that data is going into United States services or services that are based in the United States, it's easy for the government to get their hands on that data essentially, right?
Yeah, and it's not EU versus American businesses. This isn't what it is. It's the US government that needs to actually take a long, hard look at what they're doing and say, yeah, you're right, this actually isn't acceptable. But the US government has a very different look on data to the EU government, and it's very much about kind of homeland security. So this isn't a war against American businesses at all. And a lot of American businesses feel like it is. It's the US government. Well, we need to lobby the US government to make changes, which sounds ridiculous. And whether that's possible, I'm not sure. But maybe if Google start lobbying the government, maybe we'll see some changes.
I think they are, but for the wrong things.
For the wrong reasons, yeah.
The other side of it. Well, I think we saw that a little bit here in the reverse, like how this is, there was a huge uproar around TikTok and like all that being based in China and like, what are they doing with Americans' data? So I think here in America, we do care about that when the shoe's on the other foot, right? So
good point.
I think it's being able to look at this from both sides. So, okay, so... obviously all these laws are in place in the EU now. Some of these things are getting settled in court cases to the point where you can say like it's illegal to use Google Analytics. It seems the tide is going that way eventually everywhere. When you look at privacy laws, they're not getting more relaxed, they're getting more stringent. So if that doesn't affect you right now, how do you think agencies should be looking at this as far as the future of our business and what we need to do to protect ourselves going forward?
So we've talked about this a lot, and we do have some opinions on this. You could run around thinking everything's on fire, panicking about all US services, panicking about the fact that you're processing EU data. Our advice is obviously, this isn't legal advice, but our practical advice is to look where the enforcement is going. Is enforcement going after analytics? Yes, it is. That means that they're actively getting complaints and they're going after them right now. They're not going after, like Amazon Web Services, they're not going after DigitalOcean, for example. So you don't just run around panicking. You need to focus on what you can realistically do. And our privacy officer always tells people to just make sure you get everything you can in order. So you're covered for GDPR in as many areas as you can be. American businesses can only do so much, and I really would advise to focus on where the enforcement is going. And that's pretty much it, Paul. Do you have anything to add to that? Because I think that's what you can do.
Yeah, I think those are good points. I think the other thing is that even the states are implementing privacy laws like CPPA in California. And now I think there's three or four states who are implementing almost templates of CPPA in other states. So even if federally things aren't changing at a state level, it seems like things are. And it seems like legislatures at a state level are saying, okay, well, if the federal government isn't going to update FISA or those sorts of things, other executive orders for foreign spying, then we'll do what we can to protect our citizens in the states where we can affect change. So even in the state, what Jack said, I think is so important, is that this isn't this isn't kind of a rally against American business. It's a rally against the US government to make it easier for US businesses to do business on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole point of states doing this individually, at least here in the United States, that makes everything a whole lot more complicated, right? And you talk about this not being like a war on America, but I think a lot of Americans feel like the GDPR thing is so hard to wrap your mind around, because does it concern you? Does it not concern you? Does it apply to you? Does it not apply to you? And I think, you know, Paul, used to be in the business that the rest of us are in, where it really starts to change my outlook in the future is, okay, I'm going to have to contend with this, even if it's not every one of my clients, some of my clients that I have to comply with this for. So is it easier to have different policies for each client and figure out what I can do for this client that's different from this client? Or is it better to just go with, okay, this is the most compliant solution, so I'm going to use it across the board? So that's where I think we can have a conversation here about what makes sense for your agency. Do you want to be the one that's running around with your hair on fire, trying to make sure every individual person's taken care of, or is just slipping through what they need to comply with? Or do we just go with the most compliant and know that our bases are covered and can go from there? So I'm sure you faced things like this in your agency as well, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to put my sales hat on for just a second, part of Fathom is obviously this, the privacy first compliance stuff. But because my background is agency, the way that my mind works is, okay, well, how can we make this product good for agencies? And things like our custom domain solution that bypasses ad blockers. It's like, okay, we have this solution, so then your customers of your agency can get 100% of their data instead of half or so, because a lot of people use ad blockers. Because privacy is so prevalent, people are taking steps to protect their privacy. So they're installing things like Ghostery or AdGuard or those sorts of things. And that's why we've innovated in that area as well in privacy, where we feel like, okay, well, if we're compliant with these privacy laws, and we're therefore a privacy focused company, so we can bypass things like ad blockers and still be good, and also be able to collect like just a more accurate picture. Like, if you're only getting half of your data from Google Analytics, is that really that accurate? Like, how useful is that data if it doesn't tell the whole picture? And Google Analytics also collects a lot of bot and scraper data. So I've seen screenshots of people who are like, why do I have 11,000 people on my site right now? And it's like, there are no sales or anything. And it's just a bunch of like scrapers or bots. So a lot of how we've set the business up is, yes, obviously to be very privacy compliant, but also just set up in a way that just makes it easier to get the most valuable data possible, because that's what we're a small business. Like, Fathom is me and Jack. I don't know where Jack's box is in comparison to mine for everybody, but like, we're a small business, right? So we think about small businesses because that's what we are, in terms of like, how can we just get this information to people as quickly and as easily as possible, where they understand it, where somebody doesn't need to explain this to them. You don't need to take a 6-week course. There are courses in Google Analytics, I know, because I've looked into taking them. They're like a 4-week certification, a 6-week certification. And it's like, I don't want to spend that much time not making money taking a course.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think where the compliance side of it becomes so difficult for, you know, we're having to have a webinar and invest our time. There's people watching right now to invest their time to learn what's going on with these laws, learn how we should be adapting to them or how we should be thinking of them going into the future. I can't imagine how uninformed all my clients are, right? And so our industry has gone along since its existence, which in the grand scheme of things isn't very long, but it's gone along basically with no regulation. Anybody can be a web developer, anybody can make any kind of website, and anybody who's ever built client sites has had a client come to them say, hey, my last web developer disappeared, my last web developer did a bad job, he, you know, all these things, because there's nothing restricting people from just doing this. And I think in a way this regulation is good for our industry in that it raises the barrier of entry a little bit, maybe not immediately, but I do think we have the responsibility as agencies, as web developers, as freelancers to try to get this information to our customers so they can make better decisions, right? So we're building them websites that are, and this is outdated, but we're building them websites that are responsive because we know a lot of their traffic comes on mobile devices, right? So we wouldn't even question that now, but do we need to be doing things like making sure that they're not leaving the door open to their customers' data being misused, right? So how do you think that responsibility falls on us just in like an ethical way, not necessarily a legal way?
Yeah, I think it's important to think about those things, right? Like, I think that's why companies like Termageddon exist, to have good privacy policies in place, because these are the sorts of things, like if Google Analytics is ruled illegal, it doesn't mean that Google Analytics is sued. It means that the company who uses Google Analytics could have a legal case brought against them. So the onus is on the site owner and the person who helped that site owner build the site. So I think part of it too is that, like, Jack, like, this is our lives. Like, Jack and my and Ree in the chat are privacy officer. Like, this is what we do all the time. So we work to ensure that we have compliance on the analytics front, so our customers can just be rest assured that, okay, this is just going to work. I can look at all the things that I need to be compliant with for GDPR. Ree said in the chat that if you do 80% of the work for things like GDPR, you can be as covered as makes sense. Because as a business owner, it takes away from your focus if you're always having to think about these legal things. So for us, we always felt like, okay, well, if we can take analytics off the board for our customers, where they can just be rest assured, okay, Fathom's compliant with GDPR, good to go. They have things like EU isolation, that, like Jack was talking about, where we route the data for EU citizens through EU servers owned by EU companies. Like, if we take care of all of that for our customers, then that's one thing that they don't have to spend time on. So they can get back to those billable hours building websites.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to dig into Fathom itself. Like I said, I've been spending more time with it here recently, and I do want to share some things on it. But before I kind of change focus a little bit, I do want to give Jack the opportunity to look into his crystal ball here. So obviously, all these privacy laws are changing. What do you think we should be looking out for in the future? What needs to be on our radar as agencies as far as privacy concerns and things we're going to have to deal with our clients? Do you have anything that comes to mind?
Oh, crikey. So it took over a year and a half for Schrems to actually start to be properly enforced, I'd say, with the Austria. I mean, I'm sure there were things before, but with the Austrian DPA, then we saw the Google Fonts thing, Google Fonts being, I think it was in France. I forget the specifics on this, so don't quote me on that. No, I think we can't guess. And I think that when things come into play, there are drafts available for ages, right? So I would say, as we've said already, just focus on getting your compliance in order as much as you can, work with what's already in regulation form, and then I suppose pay attention to the drafts, you know. But when the draft comes out, you've got plenty of time to implement it, and it obviously can be hard. I'm not saying it's not hard, but we can't guess, you know. But do expect the US to be doing more stuff. I would say that. Don't think, oh, this is just the EU, we don't need to worry about this, because you often do. If you've got visitors from the EU, then this affects you. So just don't think that the US won't start doing this, because they have started doing this. That's probably what I'd say.
Yeah, and I think about myself, you know, everybody's got a busy schedule, right? The reason, yes, I love Termageddon is because now I don't have to think about all these things. Like, I've vetted them. I know what they're doing. I know they're obsessed with these things, and it's going to be taken care of. And now I don't have to think about it anymore. I install this, I'm good to go. And that's kind of where I'm leaning with the analytics side of it now too. It's like, okay, well, this has some legal consequences. This has some ethical consequences. This has some points of concern for my agency. So I really need to find a solution where I can outsource all of this thinking for me, because I'm not going to become an expert in data privacy, right? So I think having partners like that is so important.
And even outside of the GDPR and the law, I don't think people should be sending their visitors' data to Google anyway. It's a big advertising company, privacy scandals as long as anything. I just don't think it's the right thing to do. And if you look at Fathom, we have a clear outline of exactly what we do with your data, when it gets deleted, or how it's processed, the hashing system we use, the anonymization, all of that. You would not find that kind of detail on Google Analytics. So yeah, I don't think people should be using it outside of the law as well. And you mentioned about time. There are consultants. I mean, our privacy officer, Ree, she's a consultant, and I'll plug GDPRstart.com. There are people that will help you with this, people that live and breathe this. They're having these conversations. They're on the cutting edge of what's happening. We're not on the cutting edge. We have to talk to Ree. Like, Ree's on the cutting edge. So there are consultants available like Ree, and that's who I'd recommend working with. And every client has different needs, and every client has different tolerance for risk. Some clients will say, oh, I don't care about the GDPR, you know, throw Google on there, that's it. That's up to your client. But being informed about it as an agency owner or a freelancer is just going to start you off in a better position, so you can at least have those conversations.
And I think one thing that's so interesting about having these conversations, I've had these conversations with like accessibility. That's another thing in our industry right now that's got legal consequences and is very confusing and hard to wrap your mind around. But one nice thing about being at least ahead of your peers in this, in having conversations and showing up on webinars like today to educate yourself on these things, is when you have those conversations with clients and they go talk to another agency that doesn't bring those things up, it's like planting seeds of doubt in their mind about everyone else, you know? So you really do set yourself up at an advantage by bringing up these things to clients and not sweeping them under the rug.
Absolutely. It's a great point.
So let's, I think you kind of answered this question in the first question I asked you, Paul, but why don't you tell us why Fathom does cost money? Because I think that's everybody's biggest hang up when they go to usefathom.com and they click a pricing page and Google Analytics is free and Fathom costs $14. Why would I pay you money if I can get this for free?
Yeah, I mean, that came up in the beginning and that really doesn't come up anymore. I'm happy to talk about it though. Like, Jack, do you remember last time we got a support ticket for something like that? Like, it's been...
Why does Fathom cost money?
Yeah, no, I think what happened is all of these big tech companies were like, okay, we can make so much money from data that we don't need to charge people for the software. That's why Facebook is free, right? It's why so much of the software is free, because they make money on the back end by selling or using data in some way. And like the whole Cambridge Analytical scandal started because one guy was like, well, I want to see where this data is going. And they were like, nope, like this is just not going to happen, right? So I think that people are slowly starting to understand. And we're definitely seeing this more and more because like I said, I don't remember last time we got this question in our support channel, is that people are starting to realize that if you aren't paying for the product, then you are the product. Like, your data then becomes the product that company monetizes. It's not like Google Analytics Google gives us Google Analytics because they're a nice altruistic company. Like, they took "Don't be evil" out of their mission statement, right? Like, they're not doing it to be nice. They're doing it because they're like, well, we could charge like Fathom. We could charge like say $14 a month to start. But they're probably making way more than that on the data. Like, this is obviously just a guess because Google and all of big tech is literally a black box where we don't know what happens with that data. We don't know where that data goes. We don't know what that data is used for. We don't know what they know about us. Like, if I'm browsing a site, I don't know what's being collected about me. I mean, like, I have a VPN and I have all sorts of security measures, but still, it's like, I don't know. And that's troubling. That's really troubling to me.
You're not going to be a victim, though. It's going to be the people that don't know about VPNs, right? Yeah. That are getting caught up in this.
Yeah. I mean, but you shouldn't have to take all of these protections to protect yourself, which is why, yeah, GDPR can be an annoyance to think about. But the gist of it and the reason for it existing is to protect citizens. Like, that to me is a net positive, even though it does take a little bit of work as a business owner to ensure and to learn about how compliance works. But still, it's just like CPPA in California. These things exist. These privacy laws exist because big tech has been overreaching for too long with all of our data and saying, oh, this software is free. It's like, it's not free. It's going to cost you either way. For us, you know what you're paying with Fathom.
Yeah,
you're paying, it starts at $14.
I mean, you start doing the math. I don't know how many websites, I think I looked it up the other day, how many websites Google Analytics is installed in. But if they just started
85% of the internet.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, an astronomical number. They could start charging $5 a piece from it and probably get 50% of those people to sign up and make billions of dollars, but they don't. They don't, because what they're getting it for now is a much better deal for them, right? So that,
for them,
that's where it starts to worry me, like, okay, where is all this going? So I think that covers, I think that makes sense to people why Fathom would cost money. So let's talk about some of the features of Fathom. So I signed up a few weeks ago, ended up moving, I don't know, 6 sites or so, and have been playing with it. So a couple of the bullet points I wanted to cover on here was, man, you're right about having to take a course for Google Analytics. I don't understand half the things on there. I can't find half the things I need. There's way more things that I don't look at than I would ever look at. But it's not like that on Fathom. And I think Matt's here in the chat as well. He's got a link to a public dashboard I set up for one of our websites where people here watching can go look at a live dashboard of one of our websites. But literally the entire analytics dashboard is one screen. So can you tell us a little bit, I guess, Paul, about your philosophy on how you're presenting this information to folks?
Yeah, we wanted to surface data. At the time that we created Fathom, I was a designer running my own little agency. So I wanted a single page where myself and my clients could look at their data and understand it immediately. And so, yes, Fathom has less data than Google Analytics, but we feel we have, one, more accurate data, as I talked about previously, but two, the valuable data that you need to make most of your business decisions, right? So whether you're running campaigns and using UTMs, whether you want email reports with your data so you don't even need to log in to Fathom, or if you want to see your top referrers or your top blog posts, see like, okay, what blog posts are the most popular? So then I can tell that client that's what they need to write more of, or I can write more of that kind of content on my website. Yeah. So simple, easy, like Jack and I, it's funny how hard simple. So I mean, we're talking about agency owners, like it's amazing how hard it is to make a simple website. Just like it's amazing how much work it takes to make a simple piece of software. Jack and I sweat details for months sometimes to come up with, okay, what is the most optimized flow for people to get the information they need in the least amount of clicks and the most amount of understanding, right? Because we never want, like, I think we will have failed as a software company if somebody creates a 4 to 6 week course on how to use Fathom. Yeah. Like, we never want to get to the point where Fathom is that huge and that complicated where you need to take a course.
I thought about doing a little promo video leading up to this call where I show people how to use it or what I'm finding, but you have like a 3 or 4 minute video on your YouTube page that literally explains everything. Yeah. There was no point in me doing that.
It's less than time. I mean, you're welcome to make one. I think that would be awesome. But yeah, the video for the Fathom walkthrough is less than 10 minutes. And in the best case scenario, we'll keep it to about that. We're adding a lot of new features this year, but they're all features that are simple to understand and just kind of build off of what we've already got, where we're still going to be a simple privacy-focused analytics solution for folks.
Absolutely. The other thing, and you mentioned, excuse me, a little bit here, was the email report. So I signed up for those as well. And that's a really easy, quick thing to be able to see in your inbox and get information. So will you tell us kind of the features of that, the email reports?
Yeah, it's a snapshot of how each site or how all of your sites are doing. So it just gives you the breakdown for this week or for this month, and then it relates it to the previous time period. So you can see, okay, if my page views were 100 this week, and then I can see beside it in green or red, well, they were 90 last week, so it's gone up by 10, which is good, or it's gone down by 50, which is bad. So maybe I need to look at that. So email, it's funny, email reports we built and we're like, okay, a couple of people are going to use these. Everybody uses them.
That's, well, what I love features. About it is I can send that to my customers and yes. There's no explanation needed. Like, it's very simple. They'll know from just looking at the colors, basically what's going on. Like, did we have a red week? Did we have a green week? And you could get enough information from that.
Yep. And you can make them send just to a specific client about a specific site. So if you're sending it to somebody, they don't see all of your other customer sites. They just see theirs.
Right. And like I said, Matt did drop the link to our shared dashboard. So there's 3 options in that. You can have completely private, where only you have to log in and see that information. You can have completely open, like what we shared there, where anybody can go visit that link. And then there's an in-between where you can password protect that page. So I imagine that's what I would set up for my clients is, here's the link to your dashboard, here's the password, and you can get in and see all that information.
Exactly. So you can have different sites for different clients. It's awesome.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot. That's a lot easier than Google Analytics. The other thing that I thought was really interesting, poking through all the settings in there, is uptime monitoring is included.
Yep.
So there's another service you don't have to sign up for. Can you tell us about the notifications that are available inside the uptime monitoring as well?
Yeah, text, email, Slack, and Telegram. So you wouldn't be the last person to know when your site or your client's websites are offline, especially if you also sell hosting, then you want to know
very
quickly so you can get your client's site back up.
People have made mistakes too. They've forgotten about a certificate, or they've made a tweak and it's gone offline and they've been notified on their phone instantly. And it's obviously saved them from looking silly in front of their clients. So I've had a lot of grateful emails from that.
Yeah.
And I think I signed up before. I think I have all my clients on Uptime Robot, and it's like 5-minute intervals included in their free plan or whatever. But I think on y'all's, it's 30 seconds or a minute you can sign up for, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
It sounds right. Okay. We'll double check that.
Yeah, it's variable. You can set it from 30 seconds to a minute all the way up to, I think, 10 or 20 minutes.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of different options we offer. Yeah.
Super
fantastic. And you talked about this a little bit, Jack, the EU isolation. So can you recap why that's important for folks and how that kind of works?
Yeah, sure. So you need to not process EU personal data like the IP address or the user agent. And we've just seen someone in the chat from Germany, so this will be relevant to them. EU personal data like the IP address or user agent, we can't send that, like this plain text IP or user agent, over to US controlled servers. So instead, what we do is we route it through to German owned servers. It's owned by a company called Hetzner. They're a German business. We have three regions in Germany, and the traffic goes between them. And these servers actually anonymize the data before it gets through to our US servers. And the best thing here is that our European servers actually have a salt key. It's like I think it's a SHA-256 hash key or something like that. And it's not like it's encrypting it so it can be decrypted. It's hashing it. It's one way. And then this salt gets cycled. And so the US government would have to hack into the EU servers by going through Hetzner. And they'd have to get hold of this hash key. And even then, they still wouldn't be able to work out when, because it all cycles all the time. So, that's how we keep it safe from US government spying. Fantastic. I mean, you've got to look at the page for this. It's so hard to talk through this on the call because it gets very nerdy very
well,
quickly.
Well, it's all above my head anyway. So just you saying it's okay, then I'm good with that.
it's a feature that works automatically for every Fathom client.
Sure. So set it and forget it. And then the last thing, and you did kind of gloss over this, Paul, is talking about being able to put everything on a custom domain. I didn't realize that how many people are using ad blockers and how that affects your analytics. So can you talk to that a little bit?
And talk about why we've had to bypass the ad blockers too, because I think that's interesting.
Yeah. So I think ad blockers are a net positive for the internet because we don't have protections from big tech otherwise. But ad blockers have deemed that all third-party JavaScripts are evil for some reason, even privacy-focused analytics companies like Fathom. So we've talked to a bunch of these folks who run these ad blocker companies and been like, okay, we're on the same team here. We both want to protect privacy of folks on the internet. And they haven't wanted to play ball. They haven't wanted to adjust or put critical thinking or reason towards their reasoning of their product. So we decided to iterate, to adjust. So we launched something called custom domains, which bypasses ad blockers, where you can get 100% of your data in Fathom versus sometimes 50. It's hard to say, every website is different, but some websites, if 50% of the internet uses ad blockers, then on average, 50% of your traffic is not going to be tracked in Google Analytics, which means things like if you track conversions in Google Analytics for product sales, you're not going to see all of them, which means the data from something like Stripe isn't going to, like, you're not going to be able to reconcile your analytics books for your customers. Yeah, custom domains basically creates the script on a different URL. So ad blockers, because this custom domain is different for every one of our customers as you create it. And it's, I think, two DNS records, something like that. And like, it's very sad. Like, it takes literally no time, especially agency owners know DNS stuff because that's your lives. I understand. So it takes very little time to set up a custom domain. And then that then protects you. Was there anything you wanted to add there, Jack?
Absolutely. If we're on full marketing mode, now the thing that sets us apart from other options, our custom domains are actually running on top of a CDN. And for those who aren't aware what a CDN is, it's basically multiple servers around the world, meaning that, or even within the US as well. So different people in different areas of the US are going to get the fastest possible response time versus having just one server, perhaps in the EU. If you're connecting to the EU from the US, it's just not ideal. It's just too slow. So we have a CDN behind all custom domains, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously there's all these privacy benefits, the simple dashboard being another benefit, the uptime monitoring, but the fact that the script to actually load the analytics is smaller and less heavy and being served by a CDN globally makes it better for performance on your website as well. So that's another
bonus. We're better for page speed than Google Analytics. Well, like people say, like, oh, will using Fathom instead of Google Analytics affect my SEO? We think it does, but in the other direction, where we think it's better for your SEO because your page loads faster, because one, we have a very small script, and two, it's loaded through CDN, so it loads fast everywhere in the world, not just in Europe.
It's amazing how better your performance numbers are when you turn off Google Fonts and Google Analytics, and then automatically yeah. Your website performs a lot better on Google's performance tests. All right, fantastic. I've seen a ton of questions come in here, so I want to try to get to as many of these as we can. Matt, are you still here where you can drop in some of those questions directly to the guys for us?
You betcha. All right, so we'll start with one that a lot of people have asked in different ways, but it's mostly integration. So like what would it take to get Fathom to integrate with ManageWP to show visitor data in that dashboard, or like kind of like what GA currently does? We'll wait on that right now.
Yeah, our WordPress plugin lets you see Fathom's dashboard directly within WordPress. We don't have any plans to integrate with other things at the moment, but in the future that could happen. Right now we're focused on our core product. Like, just to be completely honest, we're focused on features within Fathom, not integrations. That said, we will be adding Google Analytics import this year, and we will be adding integration with Google Search Console this year. But that's all we can promise as far as integrations go at the moment.
Okay, cool. So Jason's biggest question for you guys is, how do you track like referrals, ad tracking, conversion tracking, and that if you're running Google ads or Facebook ads?
UTM tags. Bingo. We show you if you create the URL with a UTM tag, then we show that in your dashboard.
We're really stepping this up. Actually, right now we're working with our database provider. Things are getting really stepped up. Entry pages are coming, exit pages are coming. So you can see the entry page through to the conversion. You'll be able to see the UTM and entry page through to the conversions. So things are really starting to step up right now behind the scenes.
Awesome. And then kind of on the same line, but is there any way to connect Fathom to, like, say, Search Console, or would there even be a benefit to that?
Well, that's coming. Search Console integration is coming right now. So Search Console is actually a pretty good product from Google. Like, not all of Google is evil, and not everything from Google is automatically evil. So because Google encrypts their search data, smart as a business that really moats that data in, you need to use Google Search Console if you want to see what people are searching for to get to your website in Google Search Engine. So we're going to be integrating with Google Search Console, obviously in a privacy-focused way. But if you look at Google Search Console, you don't see personal data. Like, yeah, they're probably collecting it behind the scenes. But as far as the data that they present in Search Console, it is aggregate data. It's just data that doesn't show personal information, at least to the user. So we'll be integrating in obviously a very privacy-focused way with Search Console. So then you can see search terms right in your Fathom dashboard, along with your top content, top referrals, that sort of thing.
Very cool. The next one, David, and this one got a couple of pluses and thumbs ups. Regarding the dashboard, is there a way to view the journey or the user journey or page flow?
I love this question. I have been pushing Paul for this because we want to build anonymized user journeys. I've been pushing. With this data upgrade we're doing, let's just say that we're going to be in the position to be able to do this. It's really going to be a case of fitting this in amongst everything else we're doing, because people have asked for this. And thank you for asking that, because it's then another plus one, plus two, in fact, or maybe plus three. So yeah, I want to do anonymized data journeys. Paul, are you there yet?
We'll see, but
anonymized
we are
data user journeys.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously sounds intriguing. I'm trying to parse out, like, what's useful about a data journey, and that the thing that's usually useful is that the entry page,
yes,
pages that are visited, sometimes exit page, and a conversion. We do most of that now, and we're going to be adding exit pages at some point in the near future anyways, and tying better data to entry pages and event conversions like in a month, maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
So it might not be 100% a user journey of this person did this, and then converted, because that feels less privacy focused from an optics standpoint. It does seem like if Fathom is aggregate data and we're showing person X did this, that's not really aggregate data, right? So what Jack and I are really trying to figure out is, okay, how can we do this? Yes, we're spiritedly debating. But we do have things like entry pages exist now, events and conversions exist now. We'll be adding exit pages very, very soon, as we finish this this data revamp. So those, like, we do understand, the business case for those things, and we're doing our best to add them in a way that still protects the privacy, and still, like, if something we do wouldn't be compliant with privacy laws, we're not going to ever do it, right? So that's like the top tier. Then it's like, should we do this? Is this going to be easy to do? Is this going to be easy for our customers to understand without taking a 6-week course? So there's a lot to figure out, but that is something that, one, our customers are asking for, and we listen to our customers, and two, something that Jack and I internally debate on the weekly.
And we have another plus one from Nancy, by the way. She says, just say yes, Paul. Thank you, Nancy.
I actually appreciate that you're having this debate. It makes me feel more comfortable about what y'all are doing, because obviously you're not just adding a ton of features because somebody asked for them. There's some thoughts going into the back end of this. You have some more for us, Matt?
Yes, indeed. So Shane's asking that, as far as they know, that the email reports aren't customizable. Is this something that's going to be addressed down the road?
Yes, we will eventually have white labeling for our dashboard and reports.
And Shane suggested having an option to change the language, which, because it's very minimal language, isn't it? That'd be a great idea. We could just outsource the conversion and have it so you can select the language of it. So Shane, we'll actually add that to our, I think, Paul, if you're good, we'll add that to our roadmap. That's a great idea, having multiple languages on the email report. I love it.
Heck yes. And then David actually brought up, and he knows that no legal data or advice is being given here, but he's got clients that are in the mindset of, like, hey, we're only going to deal with this if the repercussions are worth the damage, type of thing. So what is the possible exposure for a small U.S. organization that does have customers worldwide? Does a business liability insurance cover this sort of thing?
I think your insurance would cover it.
No legal advice here.
I'd imagine it would cover it. As for your exposure, I mean, it's going to depend on size and revenue. And we also don't know yet. Things are just starting to heat up. And as it becomes more of the norm, I don't know what we're going to see. You may see EU individuals suing US businesses. We don't know what's going to happen, to be honest. And we'd be guessing if we tried to answer this one.
Very cool.
I mean, with such a simple fix, any exposure is not good, right? So for $14 a month or whatever it is to kind of put that exposure to rest, it seems logical to me.
It's also a selling feature to customers where, like, you don't have to worry about compliance with analytics. And if you pay $14 a month, you get up to 50 sites included in that plan. So you get a 50 of your customer sites on there. That's less than $1 a customer a month. Build that into your, and charge a bit more for it, obviously, because that's what you should do as an agency, is find ways to build more revenue per customer. And then you just offer it to your customers where they don't have to have their own $14 a month plan. Right. And then if you have more than 50 customers, we have pricing for that as well. Right. So, like, there's ways to figure it out where like you can, if you think this is important, if you think it's something that you don't want your customers to have to worry about or think about, then it's doable. Like Jack said, though, like everybody has different like ways that they think about risk.
Risk tolerance, yeah.
Yeah, risk tolerance. So it's, we're not saying Fathom is the best fit for every single person, every business on the planet, but for those that it makes sense for, it's definitely a good idea, I think.
All right, so we're down to the last couple, but Proud Pup Media says that they currently use Clarity on client websites to understand user behavior on individual pages, which they find to be useful, but also kind of feels like they're spying on people. Do you guys plan to have anything similar in the future?
Clarity is probably illegal as well. Microsoft, that would be illegal as well. So I wouldn't use Clarity. Feels like spying on people. So user behavior on individual pages. My take is always that it depends on the level you go to. I've never liked it when you can do session replay and you can sort of see everything they're doing. We will absolutely never do that. It's for us, it's always about keeping the users of your website completely anonymous. We don't want you to know who is doing what. And so that's where we're not a good fit. Like Paul just said, we're not a good fit for everyone. If you've got a website application and you're looking to see what individual users are doing within your app and when they use this feature, that feature, we're not good for that. So yeah, we will never do this invasive stuff.
And I do agree with Leanne that it is helpful to watch people use your site and then go back and go, oh, I need to move these things around. But there are other ways to do that, right? So you can do all kinds of user testing and do that without being creepy. Because I think if the shoe were on the other foot and you're thinking about the websites you're visiting right now, whatever they may be, and that they're tracking every movement you make on there, you probably don't like that. Like nobody really prefers that they're being tracked everywhere. So we have to be good custodians of that as well and think, okay, well, if I don't want this done to me, then I shouldn't be doing it to other people as well, you know? So.
All right. And then 87 Web, they posted this twice. So we're going to hit it.
It's a good question.
What's that spot them apart
it's a good
from
question.
Other SaaS, like, plausible?
Yeah, so a few things sets us apart. Fathom runs on enterprise grade infrastructure. We run across multiple availability zones. So for example, if one server or if a cluster of servers go offline, we have multiple availability zones, meaning our uptime is ridiculously good. Plausible's uptime isn't too good. You can see that on the website. If you go to their website, look at the footer and look at their status, you can see their uptime. Yeah, I mean, feature by feature, there's obviously going to be differences. We really put an emphasis on privacy law. So a big budget item for us is on lawyers, privacy officers, that sort of thing. Competitors don't really have that same level of focus. And we've actually been in a position when the Google Analytics ruling happened and it all got made illegal, we were actually in a position where we got to educate some of our competitors. And because we'd written about how to do this EU isolation piece, they were able to copy us. And through our marketing copy, we always talk that we're the innovators and most people just sort of follow what we do maybe a few months to a year down the line. And that's it, really. I mean, we could go over feature by feature, but I don't think that makes sense. Anything to add, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, somebody wrote a review of us yesterday that I think the reason why they chose Fathom over Plausible or something similar is we actually have legal resources. I'm a writer and a designer. Jack's a developer. Like, we're not, Jack understands law better than most developers, but like, we're not lawyers, right? So we hire lawyers around the world. We have a privacy officer that was, I'm pretty sure she was our first consultant hire for Fathom. Like, the first person we paid that wasn't Jack and myself was a privacy officer. Right. So like we think about these things and we don't adjust after the fact. We adjust prior to the fact and we launch things. Yeah. I mean, like this market didn't exist until Fathom came along. So Fathom, we were the first to market in the simple privacy focused analytics space. I think because we've done well, other people saw, oh, there's a market here. We can do this. We can do kind of similar. So go ahead, Jack.
Well, it's like asking a designer. Designer puts something together, right? They spend so much time getting all the details. I mean, you were the first designer for them, everything put into place. Then someone comes along, kind of copies and pastes it. And then they say, what's the difference between these two? And as a designer, you feel like, I put my heart into this. So it's always a weird question when certain competitors come up. But yeah, people have written reviews. If you type in, you know, Fathom versus Plausible, you'll be able to read some good reviews out there.
I'll add on to this here. I am swayed by the people that show up for the community and for the people that are willing to put in the time, right? So One reason why I love Termageddon so much, and they have plenty of competitors too, is Termageddon is showing up for our community, which is the one I care about most, right? And helping with resources and helping with education and all these things. And I can tell that they're invested in making these things better for people. I'll go back to this one more time and then I'll shut up about it. But if you've read this book, Company of One, I can imagine that you would spy pretty quickly that Fathom lives by a lot of the things that are talked about in this book, as far as you know who's running this business. I get the impression they're not selling it tomorrow, that they're pretty invested in this, and that these are going to be the people that you're also speaking with when I sent a support ticket, which was, I think, just support@usefathom.com. I got one of these two replying to my conversations within a few minutes, which was pretty impressive as well. And I don't know that that exists in every other option out there. I've never emailed Google support for analytics, but I imagine.
Can you? Is there a way
I
to
don't
do that?
Get Mr. Google on the phone when that happens.
Something we do as well, I mean, if there's any developers in your audience, we publish details of how we build stuff. So, you know, we're processing billions and billions of views. I've written multiple blog posts about how we do that. So that's always quite fun to read. Something else that came up from Lisa, I don't know if anyone saw this on the chat. As you add features, will the price increase or will users be grandfathered in? And I think that's a great question because we have competitors. We talked about one of them today, where they have whacked their prices up, I think over 50%, I think we saw it recently. With Fathom, we actually launched version 3 and we said, we're not changing prices, especially at the lower entry. But we don't want to change prices. It's good as it is. We can keep things sustainable as is. We haven't got this big kind of $1 billion acquisition that we need to have. We're self-funded. We don't have outside investors. And it's a very different, much calmer way of operating. So we're not chasing this multi-billion-dollar exit where we have to jack up the prices so that no one can afford Fathom. That's not the game we're playing here.
Jack Red Company of One too.
I made him before we partnered.
You're right.
Five times. Yeah.
Since everything's transparent today, for transparency's sake, Matt is dropping a referral link we have for Fathom inside the chat there, which is just theadminbar.com/Fathom. We do get a small commission for recommending you to them. And I believe you get a $10 discount on your first invoice, which is like 70-something% off. So it's nothing to turn your nose up at. Matt, do we have any more questions left that you want to get to before we let them get on about their day?
Yeah, we're gonna hit two. One, just to continue that line of thinking that you just mentioned, how long is that discount good for?
Forever.
Bingo. Yeah, the code... Code's always that. Yeah. $10 off the first invoice.
You just get $10 off that first invoice, right? So
sorry, I know this isn't how webinars are supposed to work. You're supposed to buy before the end of the webinar.
No.
Lisa just commented that she really needs to read that book. And yeah, I think Kyle and myself will agree that, yeah, pick it up. It's worth it. And then we're going to end with not a question, but a comment. I'm going to butcher this name. Either Mucha Design or Mucha Design. Notice that Paul and Kyle's glasses, you guys are twinsies.
You know, I do look up to Paul, so I figured I needed to dress the part today. So
I think we're also wearing black hoodies.
Yeah, I feel left out. No glasses, no hat.
Well, you need to get with it, Jack. We were going to have a little talk with you after this is over. Not sure you're here for the long run, buddy.
Oh, my days. I love it.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, if anybody else has any more questions, we will have a dedicated thread to this conversation inside our group. If you're not a part of our group, you can go to theadminbar.com/group and you can join that. So we'll be having some conversations in there. I'll be glad to share any of the experience I have with Fathom. I am working on I struggled a bit on how I was going to inform my customers that I'm going to be disconnecting their Google Analytics and connecting them to something else. And I went back and forth on exactly how I would bring this up. But what I've decided is they're paying me to be, part of what they're paying for me is my advice and consultation. And I want to be the best steward I can of their properties. So I think this is my best advice moving forward. So when I finalize how I'm going to word that for folks, I'll be glad to share that in the group as well, if that's helpful for anyone that's going to be making the switch as well. If you're still here on the YouTube thing, Hit the little like button and subscribe if you haven't already. I hate when people say that, but it does really help. So it just takes one quick second and it will make me very happy when I see we had hundreds of likes on this call. So yeah. Smash the like button, if you will. Paul and Jack, thank you guys so much for doing this. I really appreciate you guys taking some time. If there's anything else you'd like to add here, the floor is yours. Take it away.
I just want to say thanks, everybody. I'm so happy that that agencies and folks like you all who joined us today are interested in privacy and compliance and analytics. I think it's amazing. I think it's just really cool. It's really awesome to see as a business that does this, that people are stoked to be doing it. So yeah, just thanks everybody for watching. Appreciate it.
And before anyone sends in any comments, I will be getting a haircut after this call.
I'm glad you said something. Right?
At least a hi, he says.
Well, I will say to your point, Paul, it looked like we have about 5,000 people in our community. We had about 100 people show up to this call today. I will say, wow. I think those are going to be the people that are pulling ahead of the other people that aren't thinking about these things. Eventually, that's going to catch up. So if you spent some time here today, I think you made a wise investment in the future of your agency. And I do appreciate you coming to hang out with us. All right. So we'll wrap this up. Again, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we get to have another conversation one day soon.
Thanks so much, Cole. Right. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I assume Matt's turned it off by now.